Used to be really hard for me to turn the calendar over to September because I knew that school was in full swing, and it just doesn't affect me like it used to. But I think about September and all the different things that it brings with it. It brings fair time, obviously. It brings cooler weather in most cases, although it seemed like back when I was in school and there was no air conditioning on the third floor, it was always hotter in September than any other time. It brings football, all kinds of good stuff. But what it really shows me is just how quickly the months roll by. It's just incredible to me. Now, you know probably that I'm not a big fan of fall, as seems to be everybody's favorite season, except mine. And, I see it. I know the colors are beautiful, and I know that the cooler temperatures are welcomed and all that kind of stuff. But my biggest problem with fall and winter is not what you think. It's darkness. I just, like, my alarm goes off at 6:15. Most mornings I don't need an alarm to get up, but on today I did for some reason. And I wake up and it's pitch black, and I'm thinking, that can't be right. I must have set it for 3:15 instead of 6:15, you know. And I don't like getting up in the dark. It's going to be not very long from now that when we come here for the 8:15 service, it will be dark. And then when we get out in the evening service, it will be dark. And I miss the light. I read something the other day about the poles, the North Pole and the South Pole, and how there's one day every year when one of them gets absolutely no sunlight and the other one has sunlight all day long, and then it switches 6 months later. And I just can't imagine if the sun never shone, no light. Jesus is compared to a lot of different things in Scripture. He's called the living water. He's called the living bread. He's called the rock. He's called the good shepherd. He's called the bridegroom. But I love the illustration that Chuck read to you earlier from John chapter 8, verse 12, where it says, Jesus speaking, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Finding light in the darkness is always a good thing. And I had services at Crestview this past Friday, and I always tell them, I get to try out the message on them first. And it just kind of came to me as I was talking to this group of older people, if any of them ever used a cellar, a cave, whatever you want to call it, you know, where you put your canned goods in the to keep during the year. And those few times that I've ever gone down into a cellar, boy, it sure was nice to have a light when you go down in there, because there could be a lot more than cans and jars. There could be snakes and spiders and all kinds of stuff. But when there's darkness, it's really good to have light. And I remember those times when every time the wind blew in Gilman, the lights went out for a long time. And it was kind of cool to have a candlelight. And it's amazing how just that little bitty flame can bring light. It's good to have light. And praise God, the light of the world is Jesus. We're going to look today into 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Before a person ever comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they are walking in total spiritual darkness. And when we think of walking in darkness, and we've probably been places before where it was too dark to see where you're going, but when we think of somebody walking in spiritual darkness, we usually think of somebody who's in a deep depression, or we also know people who, you know, when they walk into a room, they can just kind of suck all the light out of it because of the gloom and doom that they seem to carry around with them. But in reality, people who are living in darkness, the darkness of sin, might give the outward appearance of being the happiest people in town. You know, they laugh easy and they laugh often. They may be surrounded by a lot of good friends and they all appear to be having a good time. And I'm not going to tell you that they're not having a good time. I'm not even going to tell you they're not happy. But I noticed this as I was at the fair Friday night. People are having a good time. And nobody there would probably say or admit to walking in darkness. They would, no, I'm not walking in darkness. I'm having a good time. They're happy. But there's a big difference between happiness and joy. And I know we've hit on that before, but I want to share with you again. Walking in happiness, being happy, is dependent upon circumstances. And I've said this a lot of times. I love having my grandsons here. They're here this week. And it's just a joy to have them. But if my happiness is dependent upon those kids being around, what happens when they're not around? If my happiness is dependent on sunny days and that type of thing, what happens when it's gloomy? And that's what happiness is, always dependent on something else. We have to have this before we can be happy. Joy, on the other hand, is eternal. And nobody can steal our joy. Sometimes we give it away. We don't want to keep it, but we don't ever have to give up our joy. The title of the message is Stepping in the Light, and if we're truly stepping in the light of Jesus, our circumstances will not affect the relationship that we have, and it won't affect the joy that we receive by belonging to the one true Savior. Verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Well, this is a pronoun. It refers back to something else. And the something else it refers back to is in verse 4, which says, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." So when it says, "This is the message," that's what John was doing. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a message to us, a letter to us, that brings joy. If you've ever read through the whole book of John, 1 John, you know that it deals a lot with the message of salvation, with the assurance of salvation. Later on it says, "By this you will know that you are saved." That you will know you are saved. And there are other faiths, even some Christian faiths, that operate on the principle that we can never know if we're truly saved. Or that there's something that we could do or fail to do that might have our names erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. And I think it would be hard to have joy if you didn't know without a doubt that our faith in Christ has saved us and guaranteed us a place in eternity with him. My second grade teacher was one of my favorites, and she one time was in the hospital. She's been gone for several years now, but she was in the hospital. I went to see her after I had become a deacon in the church. I wasn't a pastor yet. And I just asked her, because she was very ill. I said, are you confident that you'll go to heaven when this life ends? And she said, "Oh, you can never know if you're going to heaven." She was a Christian, but she was of a faith that taught you'll never know till you get there. That's gloomy. That brings despair. At least in my life it would. I don't know about anybody else. But what we're told in Scripture is that we can know. We can know. Now, on the other hand, verse 6, where it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And this is a tough thing for us to hear, but it's true. If we claim fellowship with God, if we claim to have a relationship with God, if we claim to be Christians, and yet we willingly and knowingly walk in sin, walk in darkness, It says right here, we lie and do not practice the truth. What does it mean to live in sin? It means to purposefully choose on a daily basis to live in a way that we know is against God's will. Applies to any sin that we choose to continue to practice. Now, I use the word choose there. Notice that, you know, we choose to continue in the practice of sin. Sin is a choice. Every single sin that we ever commit or will commit, it's a conscious choice. We're given the temptations all the time, but we choose to follow them. And I don't think we ever wake up in any particular day and say, boy, I think I'll sin today. Nobody does that. But when the temptation comes, we make a choice whether to flee and to ask God's help to flee from that sin or whether to give in to it, whatever it is. And if we willingly, habitually choose to sin while claiming to be Christians, this verse says we lie and we do not practice the truth. There has to be a distinction, I think, between the occasional slip-up and sometime when we actually almost accidentally sin, right? And the time that we just truly walk in darkness, where we choose to live in a consciously sinful lifestyle. If it's a daily choice with no brokenness, no repentance, we're walking in darkness. That's what my Bible says. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So here's where the joy really shines through. If we walk in the light, we get benefits. We have fellowship with one another. Now, any time in this church, I think, when we talk about fellowship, nobody else is like this, but I am. I think about all those good things that people bring in and we stand in line to wait for and go to the fellowship hall to enjoy. That's what a lot of us think of when we think of fellowship. Well, it just doesn't have to involve food. It's always good when it does, but it doesn't have to. And what fellowship here means is to be of one accord, to be like-minded, to be together in love. There's very few things in a church that can bring misery, like being of more than one accord. People having different agendas, different ideas, and so on. And I'm not saying you can't have different ideas. It's okay if you disagree with me whenever I talk about winter, okay? It really is. It's okay. We can disagree about certain things. It's okay if you want to make fun of the Royals for getting beat 17-0 last night. You know, we don't have to all have the same mindset about every single thing. But it is important that we as Christians and we as members of Emmanuel Baptist Church be focused on the same ultimate goal, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing that with the people that we come into contact with. If you don't happen to like the color of the pews, that's one thing. But if you don't like the gospel, that's quite another. And we need to be of one accord. We need to be like-minded. We also need to be together in love. You can disagree with people, still love them. My goodness, how many couples in here would still be together if disagreement caused you to split apart? You know, we can have disagreements, but we need to be of one accord on the main things. Another benefit of walking in the light, it tells us, is that we can have the assurance that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. Now, in my notes, I wrote all in all capital letters because I want to emphasize it. He cleanses us from all sin. All sin. And I really pray that you know that you've known the joy of having your sins removed. You all know the third verse, or my favorite verse, I should say, of my favorite hymn. Says this, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Now this isn't scripture. It as well is not necessarily take 100% scripture, but verse 7 is scripture. that we just got through reading. And it says right there, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. And this is tough, but it's sins in the past, sins in the present, and here's the hardest part for a lot of people to accept, sins in the future. All sin is covered by the blood of Jesus if we repent and ask for forgiveness. We need to, you know, just because if we happen to sin, our salvation isn't lost, but we need to ask for forgiveness because rewards are lost. And one of the songs, I think, this morning, and I can't remember if it was the same one, they were the same ones, weren't they? Because it talks about jewels in the crown, rewards that we'll receive in heaven. And that's what's lost if we don't seek forgiveness. Verse 8 goes on to say that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, we're talking about light because Jesus said he was the light of the world, but there's some other things he also said he was. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if we claim to have no sin, it says very clearly, the truth is not in us. And who is the truth? Jesus. If we claim to have no sin. Well, didn't it just say that he cleanses us from all sin, so we shouldn't have any sin? And indeed he does, but we still sin, we still stumble, we still mess up. The problem is that there are some who have been saved that would say to you, I never sin anymore since I accepted Christ. I've never sinned. Well, I think they just did. And the thing of it is, that's so discouraging to somebody who is a believer that's still struggling with sin, because we will struggle with sin. And my pastor told me one time, as long as you're still struggling, you're okay. It's when you give in that it's not okay. But truly, it says that we deceive ourselves. Well, we can deceive ourselves pretty easily, but you're not deceiving anybody else if you tell them that I don't sin anymore. In order to be stepping in the light, we have to be willing to see our sin as God sees it. You know, I've already said it a couple times here today. We tend to call sin a slip-up, or we messed up, or it's just the way I am, that type of thing. God sees sin, all sin, as evil, vile, the blackest of darkness. He sees all sin that way. He sees murder and rape and adultery, for example, that way. But it's hard for us to accept that he sees those little sins that we commit. He sees those as vile and evil and the blackest of darkness as well. All sin keeps us separate from the presence of God if it's not repented of. Then we have some more good news, and this is truly one of my top five favorite verses. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's really simple. Confess your sins. One of the first things that I ask when someone comes forward and says that they'd like to accept Jesus as their Savior, I ask them, do you know that you're a sinner? And then very quickly I always add this, as we all are. Because if somebody comes down here, I said, did you know that you were a sinner? And just leave it at that. That's very accusatory. It's very demeaning to them. So I always say, as we all are, each and every one of us are sinners. And then I ask them if they know what sin is. And I love the answer I get from most children. When you do something bad, folks, that's exactly what sin is. And it's not just for children, it's for each of us. When we do something that God does not want us to do. I read this morning, sin is anything that breaks God's heart. Sin is wrong. And the only way to have that sin covered is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He says, confess your sins. We need to confess our sins to God. There is scripture that says, confess your sins one to another. And I think it's really good if we've got somebody to whom we're accountable. If we have a problem with a particular sin, share that with one person and say, I need you to hold me accountable. When you meet me on the street, ask me, how are we doing with whatever it is, so that we're accountable. But I want to say this, we're not going to have a time where every one of you has to come up here and confess all your sins, because we got to be out of here before Sunday night, you know, or Friday night, whatever. It might take a long time. Confess your sins to God. Confess them. Name them. It's kind of like count your blessings. Name your sins one by one. Don't just say, God, forgive me of all my sins. Amen. Confess them. And then it says, if we do that, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then this, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I challenge you to commit this verse to memory. If you don't have any other verses committed to memory, try to memorize this one. It's 1 John 1:9. It's like 911 backward, okay? It's a good place to look for the salvation that he offers us. It is God's desire that we step in the light, that we walk in the light. And if we say we have fellowship in him and we continue to walk in darkness, we lie. That's not me that says this. It's God's word. Now, just to make sure that we get the point, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Remember all those that we've talked about light quite a bit here today, but God, in God there is no darkness at all, not one speck. It's not like when you drive through a tunnel and it's dark for a moment and then the sun comes back. There's no darkness in him at all, none, no sin, no evil. And if we say that we've not sinned, we're calling him a liar, and he can't be a liar. I shared this morning in the first service, just something that came to me, but when I was in the education business and some kid would get in trouble and his parents would come in to talk to me about it, and they'd have a different story. The teacher said the kid did this, and they'd say, my kid said this happened, and my kid doesn't lie. I wish I had a quarter for every time I heard that from a parent. Because every parent thinks that their child is the one child in all the world's history that doesn't lie. They lie. I'm not saying teachers didn't lie. That happens sometimes too. We all sin. But the thing of it is, God can never lie. And nothing that we could say or do could make him a liar. So if we say that we haven't sinned, we're saying, God, you've lied. And he can't lie. It says that his word is not in us. And we had a lot of different names for Jesus or things that he compared himself to. In the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says that the word is with God. The word is God. And what it's saying is Jesus is the word. And the word is not in us if we say that we have not sinned. Stepping in the light is a good old hymn that we used to sing up at Kirkley Chapel whenever I was a little kid. And it didn't make the cut for the hymnal that we use, and that's okay. Can't have them all in there. But in case you're not familiar with it, I want to recite the first verse of that old hymn. It says this, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by his blessed example, happy, how happy, the songs that we bring. Well, I would change the wording to make it say joyful instead of happy. But it says trying. And that's one of the things that I ask Jayton and I ask everybody who gets baptized up here. Are you prepared now to follow him in baptism? And then I say this, usually. And to do your best to follow him the rest of your life. Trying to follow our Savior and King. We're going to stumble. We're going to have times that we fail miserably. We're going to have times that we step in darkness. But don't make it a marathon. Don't stay in it for a long time. Step back into the light that is Jesus. For those of you who know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you also feel that joy that comes from knowing where we're going when this life is over. I also pray that when those moments come, that we do step into darkness, we get right back on the path that is light. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you may not even realize the darkness that you're living in. I pray that you would use this opportunity today to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, to be prepared to follow him to the best of your ability the rest of your lives. If there's anybody here that needs to make that decision, I pray this is the day. Let's pray. Father, I'm just so grateful to you for the joy that you offer us in knowing that our sins are forgiven, that they are nailed to the cross, that we bear them no more. I thank you, Lord, for the light that you give us to show us the way. God, forgive me for those times that I choose to step into darkness. And I pray, God, for each one of us here that we recognize that cannot be a lifestyle, that we must follow the light. And Lord, again, if there be one here today who's never accepted you as Savior, I pray that this is the day that they would come into the light. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. I thank you for your continual watch care. I do want to lift up today, Lord, those families that are going through difficulties right now, and you know who they are. And I just pray, God, that you would bring peace and comfort to each one of them, that they may not lose the joy that comes from knowing you and knowing you as Lord and Savior. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.